And we're back, and it's time for us to make the pull server so that we can scale out these configurations for everything. Now, pull servers are going to be an interesting topic, but before we start, let's show you where we're at and show you what we're going to be doing in this particular module. So first of all, if you take a look at our course modules, we are in module 3, configuring pull servers for the deployment of your configurations. And we're going to be looking at SMB and HTTP and HTTPS. And so, configuring pull servers, and let me give you what our module topic slide overview thing is. Talk about the purpose of a pull server, which will be brief. We'll configure an SMB, an HTTP, and an HTTPS. So, what about a pull server? Sir, pull servers, we've talked about instead of sending the config, now we're going to set up a particular box that is going to allow us to pull the configs from, and we're going to set the LCMs, the local configuration managers on our targets, to go and check with that box.
Exactly. So if this, here the node makes it so itself, you know, and so then he has to know where to get his directions from. So instead of Picard saying, hey, you, do this, the person comes up and says, hey, Picard, what should I be doing?
Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, there's a couple of components here. We're going to have to tell the LCM, like you just said, where to go to check for its configuration. Also, we have a couple of different types of pull servers. We have, first of all, an SMB pull server, which if you haven't had a chance, and I know that you guys probably have if you're joining us for this MVA, but if you haven't had a chance to check up on Server 2012, 2012 R2, the new SMB 3.0 and above, the SMB shares, stuff like that, let's talk about what an SMB server is. It's a box with a share on it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
it's not complicated.
And it's,
remember I talked about simple. It's like have a box, have a share, give my configuration from the share.
And this is really that simple. It's nothing more than a server with an SMB share, which we're going to set up.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, this is, you know, there's rocket science. This is more like rock science. Rock.
Okay, now that's a term that's I'm going to use a lot. Rocket science versus rock science. I like that. So we're going to start off with the SMB, but we also have another set of pull servers that we're going to use web servers. We're going to make a web server, and it's basically a website that we're going to be putting these configurations in. And what would you advise? I mean, how would, when somebody thinks about, do I set up a server with a share versus a web server for HTTP requests or HTTPS?
Yeah, you know, the point about the web server is it just gives you incredible flexibility, right? So concretely what happens is the agent, when it talks to the SMB, it just looks for a file, grabs it, uses it. Now, with the web server, what happens is it goes to a well-known website, or well, you configure it, you tell it which website to go to, and there it talks to a REST API. In fact, it's a particular type of REST API called an OData API. Okay, now the point of that is it tells it who it is, et cetera, and then it gets the configuration. Now the point is we ship you a very, 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 very simple inbox pull server, okay? But you can then replace that. Products can replace that. Everybody that we talked about today, anybody can go and replace that and implement their own version of that REST API. And you'll see what happens is you have to, when you go and you talk to the server, the REST API and say, give me my configuration, you need to give an identifier. So there's a GUID. Okay, and so right now you'll see the mapping between that GUID and the configuration in the inbox thing is very, very simple. Crazy dead simple. However, you could see a product being much more sophisticated about this. They might have gone and done an inventory pass of the machine and associated a bunch of inventory information with that GUID. So then when you send up and you say, please tell me what my configuration is, here's my GUID, you could have some very rich logic there that says, oh, let me see all the things that he has installed or what his configuration is or where he's located, et cetera. And now I'll dynamically craft a particular configuration for him. So that's the point, is that the Pulse server gives us an entree for products to do some very sophisticated processing.
And I want to point something out to everybody. Mark what he says right now, because when you see us actually do the configurations in the next module, you're going to see a great opportunity of what he's talking about, of products being built on this that'll use this, that'll help us out with additional tool sets. Remember, this is a platform for people to build on. So you might look at something and go, and you're going to see something here in a little bit where you'll say, gee, is there a better way? No, there's something that can be built on that. And so we'll bring that up. Also, with a Pulse server, it's really easy to load balance a web server.
A web server, yes.
Whereas an SMB server, well, it's not that hard, but it's still, it's definitely cheaper to you load balance web servers for the high availability stuff.
Yep.
Okay, well, here, take a look.
And it addresses configurations, right? So you might want to have that Pulse server be in the cloud somewhere. That it, you know, like a push server. The thing about a push server is I need to be able to talk to that machine. There are lots of environments where that's not the case, right? So imagine here, like something running in Azure can't reach out and touch this machine.
Right.
Okay? But this machine can reach out and touch something in Azure.
Got it.
So it's got a topology.
I like that. Yeah. So take a look at my slide. Here's where we're going to do our first SMB pull server. We're going to set up the simplest one to configure is an SMB. We'll create and configure the SMB share, store the MOF, and we'll configure the LCM. Now, guys, we're not going to send a configuration yet in this module. We'll do that in the next. We just want to show you the different pull server configurations so you can kind of see them side by side.
And before we get to that, can you go switch to my machine? Great. So remember, if you've downloaded the WMF and you've downloaded the packages, you're able to follow along with us with both the slides and the code. And when we did this before, we said show LCA, show MVP, DC, et cetera. It said you can now run this command, clear MVA DSC examples. So when I run that, voila, okay, clears things up. Oh, it's telling me that this one's been modified. So, so there we've cleaned up. And now I can run this again, but now I'll say, what module are we on?
Module 3.
Module 3. And voila, we got all the code for module 3. So party on.
You know, one of the kind of weird things, this is going to sound really weird, folks, but, you know, putting all this stuff together, I didn't think it was actually going to get turned into something on the PowerShell. Gallery is a module with commandlets, so thanks to Jeffrey for doing that. It makes everybody's life a lot easier, and it's really cool. So back to making an SMB pull server. Folks, take a look at my screen because you're not going to believe how easy it is to make an SMB pull server. Yes, I've written out the full commandlets. If you didn't know how to make a directory in Windows, well, here's one way to do it with new item. So here, watch, marvelous, extremely exciting. I just made a new directory, and now I'm going to create an SMB share. We're using new SMB share. I'm going to give it the name of the share. It's going to be called DSC SMB. Keep that in mind because that's what we're going to be using. Here's the physical path, the directory I just created. I'm going to set up read access for everyone. Don't worry, we're going to talk about credentials later on. Full access for administrators, and I'm even giving it over here a description so that I don't forget what it was there for, and I'm going to press F8. And access is denied. Why is access denied all of a sudden? I created it and it's unhappy with me. I don't know why he just fought with me on this. Let me just check real quick to see if there's a share already. Why is the access denied? Get SMB share. Let's see if we already have one. For no, we do not. Let's go out and
just. Are
you
running as admin?
Am I in as, you know what? I bet you five, no, I'm in as, oh, you know what? I'll bet you that's, folks, let me make a quick correction because I'll bet you I am not in as admin. Ah, that's what I needed. Are you going to, oh, you're not going to believe what he's about to do to me for making such a rookie mistake. Production guy. We got finger puppets for when Jason makes rookie mistakes.
Log in as admin,
log
Jason.
Log in as admin. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me try this again as an administrator. You know, I have to have proper permissions in order to do this. So I'm going to go back to our example. And after being, of course, entirely embarrassed by my incompetence, let me just call this back up. And I did get the folder created, right? Okay,
yeah.
So let's see if we can create the share now this time. And voila, works much better when I'm in as administrator.
Yes.
So And the moral of the story is, and here's the thing, it kind of ruined a perfectly good ta-da moment because we just created an SMB pull server. That's right, a folder with an SMB share. That's all there is to it. Now let's start to put some stuff into it. Let's kind of take a look at it here. As a matter of fact, that's all we're going to do right now. See, I got confused now that, the whole administrator thing. We've created the SMB. Now, we're going to use that in the next module to put configurations in it, but that's all there is to it. Now we're actually, and let me bring the slide up, we're going to take a look at making a pull server, but we're going to do a pretty straightforward pull server. Go ahead and take a look at my slide. We're going to make an HTTP pull server, but we're going to need a resource module for this, and this gets us a chance to show you how to use some of those resources that you can either download from the resource kit or that you can use the find module and install module to use. As a matter of fact, we're gonna show you that, but before we get to show everybody putting the resource on and making a pull server, making a pull server, when DSC first came out, this was something that, well, did I mention I was a web guy?
Yeah.
There was all these instructions. You need to have a website and it needs to be set up on these ports and you need to have this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm a web guy. I can make this. And I'm kind of going through it and like, it's kind of confusing.
Chewy.
Yeah, very chewy.
Yeah.
You guys came out with a resource. I like the word chewy. You guys came out with a resource. This is one of the X resources. It's still experimental. It's called PS Desired State Configuration, right? And this resource will build the pull server for me.
Pretty awesome.
Using DSC.
Yeah.
So how cool is that? So we're about to show you how to make a pull server using DSC so that you don't have to know all of the ins and outs of IIS in order to do it. Pretty cool. Now, I'm going to bring up my screen here. Why don't you help us figure out how to get this thing up, running, and installed? Because we got to get this module in a place that we can use it. So let me flip over to my box. And here's the idea. First of all, just as a kind of a reminder, folks, I'm going to show you the resources I have. Get DSC resource. I only have the in-the-box resources with WMF version 5, the February release. And there's not many of them. One of the ones that we need is this new resource to use called XPS Desired State Configuration. Now, there's a couple ways to do this. I could go out and download the resource kit, but Jeffrey, you were showing us this find module.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and run that. Well, he's going to run for a second. Internet. Ah, there it is. So in the PowerShell gallery, and if you're following along with us, here is that module. Now, to install that module from the gallery, all you have to do is, if you take a look here at my example, is install module. Now, where is this going to go? There's a new place for modules, right, Jeffrey? The new place that we have, and I want to show everybody graphically this kind of new place. We have a new place where you put modules. Now, we have the old-fashioned place, which is underneath Windows System 32, Windows PowerShell. That's not a place for you to be putting modules. That's where we don't want to be putting modules. You could also put it under your users, your documents, and Windows PowerShell modules. But now there's a new place underneath Program Files, Windows PowerShell, Modules. And right now, I want you to notice that we've got the ones that Jeffrey brought down for us, and really nothing else. We'll talk about a little bit about the script analyzer, but really nothing else. This is where we're going to put these modules, either from the resource kit that you downloaded, or when we bring these modules, install module, we'll put them here. Now, another way to see this is through the environment variable. So what is it? $environment PS module path. And if you take a look, that's kind of hard to read. So I'm just going to show you the valid locations. We'll do a split on this so it's a little bit easier to read on the semicolon. So here's the path where you can put these modules. Now, in my case, rather than doing the install module, you can go ahead and do that. I've already got the resource kit downloaded, so I'm just going to copy it out there real quick, and I'm going to copy it to that location, PowerShell Windows, PowerShell modules, and you'll see a difference here when I run get module. So I've copied it out, when I run get a DSC resource, and now I'll do get DSC resource. you'll see that we're going to get some new resources out here. Look at all of these additional resources, and one of them is called the DSC Web Service Resource.
Yes.
This is the resource that we're going to use in a configuration, and this resource does a lot of things for us. It's going to install a service for us, right? The DSC, oh, I forget the name of it, but we'll see it in a second. And it'll, it has the configuration to help us build all this up. Also, if IIS isn't already installed, it'll get installed when this service actually runs. So we can take a look at that configuration real quick of building an HTTP pull server. So here's our configuration, and we have a new introduction into this configuration. Anytime we want to use a resource that we didn't come shipped in the box, we're going to have to import this.
Yep.
Now, later we're going to talk about how we get resources out to other machines, the different ways that we can get resources out to different machines, which is really cool with a pull server.
Yeah, my favorite.
But here's one of the things that I think a lot of people, as soon as they start working with DSC, they download all the resources, they put them into the folder path to load the modules.
Yep.
They forget that they have to import these resources in order to be able to utilize them. In fact, the IntelliSense here will get all wonky on them, right?
Yeah. So this is like we had before we had auto loading of modules. You had to import a module into your session before you could use it.
Right.
Basically, we're at that stage.
So, and because today, you know, the dynamic importation of module, great! But yeah, we're still at that stage where in script we have to put it. It's also great for documentation reasons to have it in there. So take a look here. This new line is import DSC resource. The module name is now the module that is available. You can see it that I have that module. Now I can start to use the resources in there. Now I'm starting off with, I'm going to send this to DC. This is going to be the machine that's going to be our pull server. I've got Windows feature. DSC service, this is the service that I need to install. Keep in mind, if you don't have IIS installed, this service has a prereq that will have IIS install it for you, so you really don't have to do much. Now, this is not required. This next Windows feature that I put in here, I like to have on a box that has a GUI desktop, especially if it has IIS, just in case I want to peruse and look at things. I like to have the management console on there. If this was a core box, of course, I wouldn't have even bothered with that. Here's the resource that we need that's the most important. And Jeffrey, I'm going to need your help here. So XDSC Web Service, I've given it a name. I'm going to call it, oops, don't move things around, Jason. PS, DSC Pull Server.
Yep.
And here are, and again, you can hit Control Space to get the IntelliSense for this. But here are several of those properties. We're ensuring that it's present. We're going to give it an endpoint name. Now, this happens to be what we're going to be connecting to for the pull server. This is going to keep coming back to us, this endpoint name. Can I make it anything I wanted to?
Yep.
I like that. I make it anything I want. Now, I'm going to leave it that. We also have to give it a port for the website, because the default website we're running on port 80 is still going to be running.
Yep.
So we're giving
You can, but what you have to do is when you configure the LCM, you just have to give it a corresponding name.
Oh, make sure that they match.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the physical path, this is kind of interesting. This is the physical path of where the pull server website is located, not necessarily where we're going to be putting configurations and stuff. So a lot of people may not know that in IIS, we've got this default path of inetpub, wwwroot, and we're going to have the pull server's website files there. We're not putting the configs there, though.
Yep.
And where we are is we're putting those into where you see module path and configuration path, specifically configuration path. This is under that new path, right? Program files, Windows PowerShell, DSC service configuration is where we're going to end up putting our configurations. Now, this can be changed, obviously. Yep. We can set it to whatever we want. Now, this one right here, certificate thumbprint, we're going to be using HTTPS, so we're going to allow unencrypted traffic. Is this a good idea for us to have HTTP pull servers that we're doing everything unencrypted?
No.
Okay, that's, thanks, no. So let me ask you a question. There was a, when this first came out, there was kind of a lot of things going on that said, look, I'm gonna set up an HTTP pull server. It's not that big of a deal. All you're doing is getting configuration information across the
wire.
That's just it. So why is this a big deal with the configuration information?
Well, because configuration information can have secrets. You're telling people about your topology. You're telling them about what's installed. You know, you want to protect that stuff. You want to treat that stuff seriously. So
we're setting up an HTTP pull server.
I mean, great. It's fine for a lab where it doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's really what the point of that is. You know, setting all that stuff up for a lab can be a bit onerous. So often you just want to go try things out. You know, the heck, it doesn't really matter. You know, I'm going to throw this, you know, this VM away. So I don't really care if anybody can see what its configuration is.
Right.
You know, the password I'm using is pass at word one. So, you know, it's sort of like an industry standard lab password. So that doesn't really matter. But when you're doing it with your real systems, yeah, you do want to be very, you want to treat security
very seriously. I think I heard you say once that the worst security is the security not applied.
Exactly.
And so here's the point. We're going to do this pull server. This, again, is great for a testing environment. But when you move to production, you're going to want the HTTPS version that we're going to show you next. But this has a lot of great information and a lot of great easy ways for you to test it because you don't need certificates for this one. So a couple of other things. And we're going to have the state as started when it's done with the pull server. Keep in mind, this is the default configuration that came up for this. I haven't had to actually do anything. Now, there's another section down here called the compliance server that we're going to talk about in a little bit. This can give us some reporting information and node information, things about what's going on in the environment, right?
Yeah, compliance server is a bad name. Reporting server is a better name.
I meant to ask you about that because compliance means it sounds like this is for
compliance.
Compliance, yeah. And in a way it is, but you're
ish.
Right. That ish.
It licks too big of a cookie.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Reporting server would definitely be very good. So, and it creates another site on a different port for that. And we'll talk more about that compliance server. So as you can see, the config has been built for me. The only thing that I added was the IIS management console. I think we ought to just run this config. This is going to be on DC. And just down here at the bottom of the configuration, I'm just calling this config and sending it out to a path. I'm just going to run that real quick.
By the way, I don't think we've discussed, but the order of these configuration things matters not one whit. You know, you could have moved them around, the resources, doesn't matter.
I think that's a great point to bring up because right now we could put them in. Well, do we have to do, you know, the thing that's going to make the web server before I do this and before I do this? You can put them in any order you want, but when there is a time when it does matter, we have a way of controlling that,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got the configuration at this point. I'm going to go and we're going to push that configuration that's in that path out to the domain controller verbose and wait so it'll set everything up for us. Again, I haven't really worked that hard. We simply brought in the X resource for this. Imported the module. We got the configuration and it will execute. If you're looking at the verbose output down here, you can see that he started the installation to get it set up. And I'm going to show you a way to test this to make sure that it worked. You can see if you're looking at the verbose output, it's testing for IIS console, didn't find it, so it had to set it. Now it's creating the endpoints. And it's finished. Now at this point, how do I do this, sir?
Do what?
I have to show a boo-boo.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to show a boo-boo.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
so
fine.
I want to show everybody how you test this. And guys, this is a common way to make sure that your that the website is responding correctly to you. So I'm going to show you a URL. And if you're doing this as well, go ahead and run this URL. Take a look. It's start process. I'm going to do iExplorer. I'm going to go out to that machine DC port 8080, and I'm going to call up the pullserver.svc, and we should get a return website. And I want to show you something here real quick, and you might run into this too. When it comes up, I'm going to get, in this case, this weird, nasty error message. And I want you guys to take a quick look at this because there's a quick resolution for this. It's a minor bug that's being corrected. It's probably already been corrected. It's looking for something that you ain't got for this right now. And it's this ESN interop. There's a simple way to fix this. This is done in the web.config for this website. And I want to show it to you is, I'm going to bring it up in the ISE. This is pointing to the wrong database. And so if I scroll down here, we've got a database provider in this web config called ESNT and the value for its location. This is currently incorrect, and there's a simple way to fix it. I put it into the notes that you replace those two keys with these and point it to a JET database instead and the correct location for it. I've already modified a web config that I'm going to copy out to this pool server that has those settings, but I want to make sure that you had those settings because it throws people off when they set up their pool server at the moment. It'll get fixed, not a big deal. So let me just copy this out and then show you how it should look when you're all done. And we're actually kind of testing the website here. Dun, da, 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 da. And these are the responses we're getting. We're getting these action responses back, and that's what I want to see to make sure that the website is working. This is how I know that my pull server is ready for communication with my targets, and I'm ready to start using it. Well, that was kind of like...
That's your REST API there.
That's my REST API. Do you want to define like REST API for all of us IT guys?
You know, honestly, REST is a bunch of randomness. It's just... it's a way of like RPC over HTTP,
yeah.
And that's sort of like it. And then there's supposed to be some principles, but everybody does it differently. It's just complete randomness. And that's why we're a very big fan of OData. OData is a set of conventions for REST APIs. And basically, it says, hey, if you're going to do this, here's how you do it. If you're going to do this, here's how you do it. You want to refer to an instance? Here's how you'd refer to an instance. When you want to refer to a collection, here's how you'd want to refer to a collection. If you do filtering, express it this way. Things like that. One of the things they do is to say, you should have, you know, a URL with this SVC, and that SVC should contain the data that tells you about your REST API. Because yeah. Otherwise, like, well, okay, so somebody developed a REST API, like, how do I talk to it? It's like, yeah.
Good question.
Well, what do you mean, yeah? It's like, yeah, I don't know. I guess use Bing, you know, search. They might have a web, they might have a blog, or they might have a... It's like, well, I found a blog, but it's out of date. Yeah, that's REST. You know? So, like, okay, that's great. But OData gives you all the benefits of REST. REST, RPC over HTTP, is very fast, very light. There's a whole bunch of unaddressed issues. OData addresses those issues. And by the way, why in this version of PowerShell, there's a commandlet. What do we call it? I don't remember what we call it. But using the amazing PowerShell, because remember, go to my screen here. If you remember, PowerShell's designed for my flaws. Okay, so I've got bad memory. I can't remember something. We did something with OData, right? So get command something with OData. OData. I can spell that. And the answer is export OData entry, right? So then here, get rid of this. Okay. Plus, plus, plus. So basically what you can do is you can use this and you point it to an OData endpoint, one of those SVC URIs. We reflect against it because it's a well-defined set of conventions. We can reflect against it, understand what that REST API does, and auto-generate a set of PowerShell commandlets to invoke that REST API.
Got it.
Now, you can't do that when everybody's just doing random
whatever
stuff.
They want,
you know,
right?
Oh, it's Tuesday, yeah. Maybe I'll do it this way. Oh, it's Wednesday, I'll do it that way. Oh, I like it this way. You can't do things like that. So that's why we're such a fan of OData.
And I just want to point out to everybody that's maybe a little bit newer to PowerShell that the point when you hear somebody say you must be able to use GitHelp because nobody memorizes all of this stuff, that look, the guy that just invented it just used, you know, Git command and Git help to find what he was looking for and then discovered what he needed and looked at how to use it. We all do it that way. So just wanted to throw that out. Anyways, the wonderful discoverability of PowerShell makes my life easier. So take a look. We've got our pull server is now set up and it's working correctly. We just tested it to make our life good. And at this point, he's ready to go. I want to just kind of cap that he's running on the machine in this environment called DC, which is the domain controller. Now, the next thing that we want to do, and I'm the production guys are going to yell at me if I don't, oh, I brought up that one, or if I don't bring up my slide, is Now let's talk about doing a secured one. Yeah. So we're going to configure a secured one. This is going to be the proper way to do it in production. We don't want stuff getting passed over the wire. But this requires a little bit more stuff. Now, we're going to have to put up some certificates and send out certificates for everybody.
Yep.
Now, here's one of the things, and I'm really interested in your thoughts on this, but you need to have a PKI environment. So I know there's a lot of companies that are still struggling with this idea of having their own PKI environment. Your Active Directory Certificate Services is ready to go. So you can have your own PKI environment and generate certificates. Public Key Infrastructure. Did I get it?
You got it.
I couldn't sign in as admin, but I can remember the TLA. Public Key Infrastructure. So this is what we're going to use for our certificates. Now, there's a couple of times you're going to see us use certificates in here. I have a certificate server set up, so generating the certificates is pretty straightforward. You will see demonstrations where you can use Make Cert and generate the certificates for this. And that's fine for a test environment, but I actually used a PKI environment to set up the certs for this. So that's what we're going to do. Now, for our HTTPS poll server, we have the same requirements. We're going to need to import that module, PS desired state configuration module. Again, we're going to need to change our configuration slightly to have the thumbprint of the certificate that we're going to be using, and then we'll be able to set up the poll server. So we'll take them through the code for all of that. Boys and girls, here we go.
It's worth walking through what an HTTPS server gives them. You know what? HTTPS. I get an S.
I got an S. That's what I was going to say. It gave it an S. So this is going to be SSL, right? Everything's going to be secured and encrypted.
Yeah.
So this way, if you have your
When I send up, when you talk to the server, you're sending it some information about who you are. You have effectively your GUID, right? Anybody who presents with that GUID can get your configuration. So you want to treat that GUID like a secret. You don't want people to say, oh, you got the GUID?
Right.
Well, I know what your GUID is. I can get your configuration. Maybe there's some secrets in there. So you want that to be sent, that request to be sent encrypted. The next is, then you get the configuration back. Well, that's the configuration, baby. So you definitely want that encrypted. And then you also want to know, am I talking to who I think I'm talking to? Am I really talking to that, or am I talking to evil.com?
Right, exactly. And I think it's an important thing to note that we're using SSL. So this is the same thing when you do your online banking and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, the day that SSL gets cracked in real time is the day that we're 2 meals and 24 hours away from total barbarianism. So this is definitely secured in the way. I know, it's very, very, Jason got serious for a moment. I know. So this is definitely the secured way. If you've ever set up an SSL certificate on a website before, that's all we're doing is setting up a certificate on it. But it is very important for this environment. This is the proper production method to use. So let's go ahead and take a look. The first thing I'm going to do is I need that module that I've got in the resource kit. I need it on the box that's going to be the new poll server, because he's going to run that configuration. And this, I want to stop right here because this is the first time we've had this concept.
Yeah.
This is a tricky concept. I've got modules that aren't in the box.
Yeah.
That means what we mean by not in the box in this case is everybody ain't got them. I downloaded them one way or another. I have them.
From the gallery.
And I'm going to send a configuration that uses these new modules to a box that ain't got them.
Right.
What's going to happen?
So just to be clear, right? You're going to say the code allows you to write the configuration, but it's also the code that makes the configuration true. So you loaded the code on your authoring box, so you're able to author the document. Then you go and say, now I want to send that document to that machine. You're going to send it to that machine, and it's going to go and try and find the code to make it so. And it's not going to be there.
Either. So what in this case, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of shortcut it, make it real simple. We're going to make sure that those resources get copied out to the target so that when he runs the config, they exist there. I mean, when you think about it, it makes sense. But when you're
Do it that way?
Yeah.
To start?
That's what I was going to do to start.
Yeah. We show them it failing so they know what a failure is.
Oh, okay. Let's show it to you failing.
By the way, that's a technique that I love to do is you want to introduce a failure that you know what the failure is, and then you run things so that you see what the failure looks like. Oh, okay, so you see what the error message is, and because sometimes the error messages aren't really clear, but because you introduce the failure, you know what the failure is, and so you say, oh, that's what that failure message means. So then, in the heat of the moment, when you see that error message, you already know what it is.
Now, see, and so let's go ahead and do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fire this configuration really quick, just to create the config that we're going to send to Node S4. I want you to see I have the import DSC resource for that module, but that module is not copied to S4. So I'll run this. We're going to get the MOF, and what we'll do is we'll push that MOF, whoops, over to S4. So let me just go ahead and push it, and let's see what happens. And look what it says right there in big red letters.
This time the error message is pretty good. The PowerShell DSC.
It is good.
Well, I sound so surprised.
Well, yes, you did.
Okay, sorry about that. The PowerShell DSC resource, and it gives you the resource, does not exist on the in the module path.
So in this case, since it doesn't exist there, this is to remind us that, hey, look, I forgot to get the module out to the target. Let's get the module out to the target. We'll do a simple way of getting it out there right now. I'm just going to copy it out there. So I'm going to copy it from my resource kit on my machine out to S4, out to that programs file, window PowerShell modules location.
And by the way, if you're thinking to yourself, good Lord, there must be a better way, there is. And we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, there is. We'll keep it simple for right now. You can go out and take a look at it if you want through Explorer that it actually got copied. I'll just bring it up here real quick to show you that on S4 out there to the modules, now that module exists. So let's go in and make a couple of quick changes to the configuration first before we redeploy it. So here's one of the things. I'm going to show you this configuration. Right now the configuration, we have this, and I had this in here, but the old HTTP pull configuration had in, and let me just get rid of this, said that it could use, now I forgot the phrase all of a sudden, but it didn't require that we had allow unsecured whatever.
Yeah.
Which meant HTTP. Well, now we want to change this, and we want to change this to having a certificate thumbprint, which means we need the certificate that's installed on the server. Now, I want to show you what I've written in here for you, and I can even show you the process real quick. You can create the certificate. Now, I've got a web server out there, so it's really easy to make a certificate on a web server. I'm going to show it to you here, in fact, really quick, just so you can see what it's like if you want to try this back at home. I'm going to go out to S4, and I'm going to show you this graphically because it makes a lot more sense rather than if you haven't done this before, doing it through PowerShell the first time. So I'll just show you how I usually start out. I was checking the cert. I start the INET manager. That's the IIS management tool. Certificates on a web server are done at the server level, not the website level. And I'm going to go out to server certificates. Now, I already have one out there, but let me show you how to make another one that would work for this if you haven't done this before. I've got a PKI solution. I've already installed Active Directory Certificate Services. It's actually a pretty simple install for a lab environment. I don't recommend doing this in production unless you're fully familiar with PKI and the requirements. I'm going to ask that PKI server to give me a new certificate. And so the common name is going to be URL for this box, which would be s4.company.pri. And because I already have one out there for this, I'm going to cheat and say .com. And then the organization, we'll call it MVA, IT, City, Pahonix. We're in Seattle. Let's call it Seattle.
We're in Redmond.
We're in Redmond. Upgrade. What's the matter with me? There we go. NWA.
Beautiful downtown Redmond, by the way.
Beautiful downtown Redmond, by the way. I get too many extra characters in there. I'm going to hit next. And guys, part of this, when you're setting up certificates, you're going to need to make some decisions about your encryption providers, all of that. I already have that done on my PKI solution. It says specify my online authority. So I'm going to select where I installed Active Directory Certificate Services. And I'm going to give it a friendly name. And you need to know what this friendly name is. You can call it whatever you want, but you're going to see in a minute, you need to know what it is. In my case, I'm just going to say, call it whatever. And I'll say finish. And it'll give me a certificate. Now, here's what we need. The certificate is now on this box. We don't need to do anything else with it. production guy. I'm over here swinging my arms and you're ignoring me. So here's what we need. We need this. And we need to tell the configuration what this is. Well, let me show you an easy way to get this from your servers. I'm going to minimize him, bring him back over. And I've got this written for you in the demo. Take a look. I want that thumbprint. So I'm going to invoke command from S4. And take a look at the command that I have here. I'm doing get child item. I'm going into the certificate provider, local machine my. That's where the certificate will be. And I'm going to do where on whatever that friendly name is. Now, the one I created earlier for my test was called PSDSC pull server certificate. And what I want is the property thumbprint. So notice I'm doing a select object, expand property thumbprint. So let's invoke that and see what that thumbprint is. It's not giving me my thumbprint, so we'll, I don't know why he's not giving me my thumbprint, but we'll go over and
see. Is it whatever, friendly name, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I could do that one, yeah. Let me just do it as a like real quick so I don't have to type so much, and we'll put it, did I say call it? Yeah, I said call it, whatever.
Just do a format. Just get them all.
Oh.
Show
yeah,
them all.
Let's just do it, get them all. Why didn't I think of that? Ah, there we go. So I'm going to take the thumbprint, and I'm just going to copy this thumbprint. This is what I need in my configuration. What's that?
Should I get the right one?
This is the one I preset up, but I could use the other one to call it whatever.
No. I was going to say, you might want to show the friendly name as well, but...
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Because you selected the thumbprint, but if you just said, oh, show me them all, then you can still cut and paste the thumbprint, but you get this.
Yeah, so we probably want to show the friendly name. So we could do that.
Just
we could add
to
friendly
make sure.
name in here. What's it, just to make sure?
Otherwise, things could go pear-shaped.
Dash property. Let's see. What is it? Is it friendly name? It should be friendly name, right?
FR star.
FR friend.
Star. Star. Star.
Ah! Star.
Yeah, so wildcard is your friend, man. Don't waste your time.
I know, I'm wasting my time. What's the matter with me?
Friendly, I before E, except after C.
Okay, it did give me the friendly name. For some reason, I'm having a heck of a time. Let me scroll over. Oh, it didn't give me the friendly name.
Well, I think it's the first one.
Yeah, I think it's the first one. Sorry. Thank you, sir. So I'm going to copy this, and let's go back to our configuration over here. Again, I'm using the configuration that's already set up for me. The only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to paste in. Well, that worked out like a plan. Let's try that again. Control C. Control V. There
people,
we go.
A lot of people fail to realize how complex Control V and C can be.
Okay. You got to move your dragon. You got to move your dragon. See, again, this is my dragon alert that I just...
You're dragging your butt.
I'm dragging my butt because I can't use Control C or Control V. So take a look at the config. I've got my thumbprint in there. That's what I needed. Again, we're going to run this again. Dun, da, 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 da. And we're going to send this configuration out. So start configuration. And remember the last time we had a failure because we didn't have that module on there. Whoops. Oh, I have a pending configuration. What a great opportunity.
Talk about pending configurations.
Talk about pending configurations. Now later we're going to get more into it, but I sent a configuration that failed. I've got a pending configuration.
Yep.
I don't want it there anymore.
Yeah. Oh.
This used to not be easy to deal with. You would have to go out to the special directory, which we will show you the special directory later. But
I never do this.
Oh, what do you do?
I just say minus force. We should explain the issue.
Yes.
Okay, so we pushed a configuration to that machine and made it so. Now, on a regular schedule, it will go and validate, is it still so, and do that. Now, if... While it's doing that, you try and push another configuration there, it'll say, hey, dude, I'm in the middle of something. Like, what do you want me to do? And if you want, you just like stop and wait and try it again later. Or what you can say is minus force. And if you type minus force, it'll stop the current one in progress and use yours. So that's the way I usually do it. What do you do? We have a new command for this, though.
We have a new command for this, and I love the new commands, and we're going to be showing you the new commands. You can go in if you have issues with pending, or we're going to show you the different configurations, pending, current, config. We have new commandlets that can help remove those and get them out of the way for you. It used to be a manual process, and we'll show you those commandlets, but you know what? He said use Dashforce. I'm using Dashforce right now. So we'll do start DSC configuration and verbose wait Dashforce to tell the LCM, stop what you're doing, do something new. And we'll hit, whoops, F8. And there it goes.
Happy days.
It's sending out the config. Now, guys, again, if you're following along, I put it here in the notes so that you keep in mind if you go out to test it and you get an error message from this pull server, it's because of that little database issue. I'm just going to fix that database issue, and we'll take a look at it working using, here it is, HTTPS, as soon as he gets done to verify that it works.
And I will make a note that in the February version, there are some times when you have to type this when I think it isn't running a convergence cycle. We call that a convergence cycle. So I think you have to run this minus force a little more often than you need to. So I think we just have a bug there, and we're tracking
that
down.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
So don't file that bug. We know about that one.
So let's go ahead and, oh, he's not quite done yet. He's almost done. Applying.
By the way, notice here, it shows you.
Look. Verify that the certificate, he's verified it. Oh, he's so smart. I love it. He's gorgeous. Great.
Notice at various things, it tells you how many seconds. Like it told you the total seconds and then how many seconds are in each step.
Yeah, and I think this is great because, you know, if you were going to extrapolate this information in that, okay, I just did it to one, how long might it take to 50?
We call that parallelism. It'll take the same amount of time.
Did you hear that? Did you hear him say, did you also hear how he looked at me? Or not hear it, but you see how he looked at me? We call that, a lot of people are still doing this. Well, if it took 10 minutes to do it to one, and I need it to do 100, well, that's 100 times 10. No, say that thing that you just said, and you'd look real mean at me when you said it.
It's running in parallel. It takes the same amount of time.
We're using PowerShell remoting. It's running in parallel. It takes the same amount of time. Took 10 seconds for one. It's going to take 10 seconds for 100 of them.
That's funny.
God, I love this.
Yesterday, I was talking to my wife, and there was something. I was reading something that said, oh, the majority of people get this wrong. They say if you have something, five machines produce five parts in five machines. And sorry, five machines produce five parts in 5 minutes. How long will it take 100 machines to produce 100 parts?
10 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Why did I say 10?
I have no idea.
I was back on my demo, but yes, 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
and they said, oh, most people get that wrong. I thought, well, why? That's odd. Anyway, so my wife.
I would get that wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're. Yeah.
Anyway, so parallelism, however long it takes. But my point was that when you run through the script, it's telling you how long each stage takes.
Right.
And this helps you as an author. If you're an author and you're writing these things, you're getting feedback on how long your code takes to run. So if all of a sudden you're not happy with the solution, you can go find out, hey, which components are taking the longest time, and then go work on that code.
And I think that's a great point, especially for the next MVA that we're doing, which if you're joining us live is tomorrow, when you're starting to create your own custom resources, now this is your code that's running and you might find issues with it. Let me go ahead and finish this up here I'm gonna copy out the corrected web.config. And let's make sure that the HTTPS, I want you to notice I have HTTPS. Make sure that it's working. And this is on server S4. Got the certificate on there.
So let's be clear what that means. That says, this guy is saying he's somebody that you should trust, but because you haven't chained up to a well-known certificate,
right?
You have to decide whether you trust it.
And it may very well be that since I did get friendly name, I grabbed the wrong one because I set my PKI solution up with a group policy to trust my certificates.
I see.
But you are correct. And so in this case, it was showing you that, hey, this is not a trusted cert.
And so you actively said, yes, I trust it. And therefore, yep. Now all your requests that go up are encrypted, so they're safe, and the data that comes back is encrypted, and it's safe.
Absolutely. And now we have a working website. So In conclusion, what you've all seen so far is the three different types of pull servers. SMB, which was lickety-split, it's just a share on a box. The HTTP pull server, which we did with the new resource, PS desired state configuration. And then we did an HTTPS. We got to deploy the resource, simple fashion, to a remote server. And then we put in the certificate thumbprint and got us an HTTPS pull server. Yeah, keep saying that, Jason. Now we have our pull servers. When we come back, we're going to write some configurations and test those pull servers out. So don't miss what we do next.